Welcome to Right, Just, and Inconvenient,
a podcast where we talk about the Catholic faith and our walk towards holiness in today's cultural climate.
We're your hosts. I'm Alex.
And I'm Amanda. And we are both Catholic wives and mothers trying to raise the next generation of good and decent Catholics in today's world.
And even though we don't always get it right ourselves, we invite you to walk with us on this journey to holiness.
So sometimes Catholicism comes out off as being like some sort of like VIP access like club, I guess. Like especially if you just wandered into a Catholic church, like I think that there's a lot of ritual, like everyone has like responses that if you grew up in the church, you know exactly what to say. Like peace be with you and with your spirit. It was like that first Christmas when they changed their responses and the people who hadn't come to church in a while were like, and also with you, and it gave everyone away.
Yeah.
Who had not been to church in a while. It's easy to feel like you don't know what you're doing or like you don't belong.
That's true. I feel like when I've like brought people with me and I like in college especially.
Yeah.
Like I always used to like, I never wanted to go by myself, so I'd make someone go with me. Yep. And
I feel like people were always like, what do I do?
And I would try to, you know, if you're bringing someone, I would try to be like, okay, this is what you do here. Like you just stand when I stand, sit when I sit, kneel when I kneel. But when communion, and this is an exclusivity thing, when it's communion time, you can either like stay seated or come up and receive a blessing if the priest is the one giving the blessing, but I feel like like stuff like that kind of does, like, because if you're Protestant and you come, or not Catholic in general, you're not supposed to receive communion,
right? And like every Protestant church I've ever been in, if they have a communion service also, they're always very welcoming to visitors who are coming, whether or not you're a member of that church, whether or not you're a, you know, follower of that particular sect of Christianity. So this is something that's very exclusive to Catholicism.
Yeah.
And it's also such a big pain point, I feel like, if you do invite, because especially if you've invited someone with, like, the intention of opening their heart to, like, coming into the faith or introducing them to just the idea of Catholicism, like, do you want to come to my church? You don't want to make them feel like they aren't welcome there. And I think it can definitely be taken that way. And so we are going to talk about why. Like, why is it like that? Because the intention is definitely not to make anyone feel unwelcome. And it was actually practiced in the early church, like in the first centuries, like it was practiced where the people who wanted to, that were working on coming into the church or like were like interested in joining the faith, they didn't just all come up and take communion even back in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like you did have to be finished being like brought into the church, which now it wasn't called RCIA, I'm sure back then, but like what would now be RCIA, like the rite of Christian initiation for adults.
Yeah. It's not even like you just can't take communion, but you also can't become Catholic without like an actual process.
So, and once you come into the church, then you are able to receive the Eucharist. So it's been like that since the beginning, which again is why we keep it that way, because why, I guess, fix what's not broken. But also when you're coming to receive communion, on top of us having this huge difference in beliefs about what the Eucharist is, it's also saying, like, yes, like, not only do I believe that this is the body, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, it's also saying, like, yes, amen, like, I believe in the church, in, like, the Catholic Church teaching.
I stake my life on this.
Yeah, like, it's saying, I stake my life on the fact that this is true. So part of it is, like, you know, I'm not willing to let you be dishonest to our Lord.
Yeah.
Like, it's just telling them, like, hey, like, you don't believe everything the Catholic Church teaches, at least not at this present moment, or you would be Catholic. Yeah. And if you do believe in your heart everything the Catholic Church teaches, the next step then is not, well, I should be allowed to come to communion. It's, I should join the next RCIA class.
Yeah.
And then be initiated in the church and be able to say that I'm in with, like, full knowledge of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Amen to. And also to, like, tie this in scripturally, too. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. St. Paul reminds his readers, Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of our Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He goes on to say that he who doesn't discern the body of the Lord brings judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. That should cause us to sit up and notice the Eucharist is a food of blessing and strength to the soul in a state of grace.
And that's why even as Catholics, like...
we can't always receive the Eucharist.
Yeah, like, if I were in a state of mortal sin, I would have to go to confession before you're supposed to receiving communion. And you don't always... and it's not like people are doing checks. Like, if you were Protestant and you came in, like, and the priest doesn't know you, they're probably going to give you communion because they don't know.
No, yeah.
Like, you won't be stopped in line. But, like, this is what should be happening. Like, if I... have mortal sin on my soul, I should be sitting back,
yeah,
and not receiving. And that's hard sometimes.
It is. Like, I remember in college,
I was about
like
to say that
when we would go to church, like when we would make it to mass but we hadn't gone to confession, yeah. I say we because I feel like if we were in mortal sin, we're usually in mortal sin together.
Yeah.
So like I would feel weird about like staying in my seat. Like, I felt like people were looking at me or like people were thinking like, well, what did she do?
Yeah.
Or, and it's funny because like now as a grown adult, like when I see people, like, when I see someone sitting in their seat that I know are Catholic because they're a member of our church and I see them, like, all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, good for them. Like, yeah. I'm like, good for them. Like, if they don't, like, if they are in that state or, like, for whatever reason, like, are not in a place where they should be receiving the Eucharist, like, good for them. Like, having the courage, too, to sit back and not just, like, I guess cover it up.
Yeah, I think like, that, too, but also it doesn't even have to be a sin, like, you're supposed to fast an hour before.
Yeah.
So, like, there's always the chance that you just were, like, couldn't fast. Like, maybe you were really hungry and you had to eat. And, like, you're like, okay, well, I can't do communion today. And so you don't have to assume that whoever is sitting next to you, like, gravely sinned. They might just have eaten.
Yeah.
Too close to it. So, like, I mean, there is a lot. Like, if you went to a Catholic church and you felt, like, excluded because you couldn't take communion, just know that like it's a big deal even for us, like so
yeah.
much so that like not every Catholic all the time can constantly have communion,
right?
Like, it's so important that like you have to be in a state of grace to receive it. And I mean, to be in a state of grace, you need to be baptized, be like have gone to confession, get all the mortal sin off of your soul, and be Catholic.
Yep. So going along with like being denied communion or not being able to take communion, this recently came up like with our politicians, like because for the first time in history we have a very openly Catholic and also very openly pro-choice president, and we also have a very openly Catholic and very, I would say, pro-abortion Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
And recently the bishop, and his name begins with a C and I can't pronounce it correctly, but he's the Archbishop of the diocese that she's in, and she's being denied communion. And I want to say, wasn't President Biden also denied communion, or am I making that up?
Not yet. Not that I know of, not yet.
But I feel like it was kind of like, you know, especially among people who aren't Catholic, like it's very controversial. I think it also, to people who are Catholic also, it's probably kind of controversial because I feel like within parishes, like...
oh, it's super controversial.
You know, like not everyone is a Republican. Like I'd say most people are... more conservative probably that are Catholic, but I mean,
I don't know. I think
it
a split.
Very much depends on where you are.
And it doesn't matter what your politics are, but being pro-life is a requirement.
Right.
Whether you think so or not.
And one thing too that especially separates like politicians too is that they are on a very public platform.
Well,
and
what?
So when you're very publicly proclaiming that you are Catholic.
Yeah.
And also in the same, like, in the same sense, like, very publicly proclaiming that you are pro-choice or pro-abortion, like, it seems like an endorsement of the faith.
Well, it's not even just
it's
that.
Not.
It's that Bishop Cordleone, I think.
Yeah, better than I could have done.
I looked it up. But he, he tried to contact her.
No,
like it I wasn't love this just too. That like he had several, that he like
he did meet with made her a few times.
Like yeah, like but the requirement for Sen to be mortal is that you have to know it's gravely wrong. Yeah. It has to be gravely wrong. You have to know it's gravely wrong. And not only did she just like support that like women should have the right to choose, I'm using quotation marks here because choose, but choose what? I'm sorry. But she also has voted on like things that like promote like abortion up till and after like born alive abortion, like infanticide. She's supported like abortion to the highest terriblest, if that's a word. It's not. extent. And like that cannot be like her soul is in danger, and it is his job as the bishop to help her.
Yeah, he is shepherding his sheep.
Yeah, and so it's not a punishment to be denied communion.
It's a call to repentance.
Yeah.
Like, it's a hope that the weight of being denied communion and being denied Jesus will make you want him more.
Yeah.
And make you desire to come to confession and, you know, purify your soul.
I know when I've gone too long without receiving communion, I crave it. And, like, when I get to... like the moment right before, even if it hasn't been that long, and like
even when I'm like miss a mass for whatever reason, like if one of the kids is sick and like
I get so excited to receive Jesus, like it is the it's the only part of mass that I like really look forward to, because the rest is kind of chaotic with the kids. But like when it comes to the Eucharist, I like zone in, and it's just like it's time. It's because it's Jesus, and I know that like if she really believes, which you know you never know because the church is relatively split on if it's actually like the actual church,
the most important church teaching. Yeah. I would say that there is probably,
yeah, the actual church teaching is the truth is that this is the real body and blood soul and divinity of Jesus. But like a lot of Catholics, if you haven't heard our Eucharist episode, there's like a lot more
there's to a be huge unpacked percentage here. Yeah, that don't really believe the teaching in its entirety,
right? But like if she really believes that, then being denied communion should
weigh on her heart,
and she should get not get mad but get curious, like why is it that the church teaches this?
Yeah,
because a lot of people like take the Catholic Church and they're just like, well, like I don't agree with this part, and like this bishop is doing his duty and being like, that's not how it works. Like I like we can't give you communion here, like and make it seem like this is okay when it's not,
right?
Because we care about your soul too much.
So tying back to the, like Catholic exclusivity here, like it's not to make some sort of statement that we are some sort of exclusive club. It's literally an attempt to make an impact on you, and like not as a punishment, but like as out of genuine desire for Jesus and his church that he established. Like it's necessary for salvation, like it's so that you will desire it more and come back.
And that's the same concept as excommunication. Like so being denied communion is like a step before,
yeah,
excommunication. So like she's not excommunicated, she can still go to mass, but she just can't receive,
yeah,
the Eucharist. And this is, it's not like she's the first one.
Oh no,
I think I might be pulling this out of nowhere, but I'm pretty sure that, like, there have been people denied communion, like, during, like civil rights stuff. Like, people who were or slaves. Like, something in that had to do with, like, terrible, like, injustices.
Human rights, yeah, violations.
Yeah, where bishops decided to deny communion to people who were, like, being outwardly, obviously sinful. And, like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And there are some, like, for the most part, there is a process, like, to get to excommunication. Like, I mean, even this process of, like, Nancy Pelosi being denied communion, like, first, like, the Archbishop did. Like, he met with her on several occasions. Like, watching interviews with him, like, he would talk about talking to her and how, like, much he hoped that she would come to repentance. And, like, honestly, he said there is a maternal heart somewhere inside her because of, like, the way she talks about her kids.
Yeah.
And so like he wants like for that, like, maternal heart to awaken, like, in the sense that she could would become pro-life, like, and see, like, the flawed,
yeah,
like, sinful nature of those views and what she's advocating for.
Yeah, and it's doable. It's been done before. I mean, you've seen people go from, like, and not just pro-life, like, stuff, but any sin that, like, like, any terrible just, thing.
Like, convert, I mean, St. Augustine.
Yeah.
Like, is a fantastic example, like, but what saved him, like, of course, like, his own change of heart, but St. Monica's prayers, too. Like,
yeah.
So I think that one thing that we can take from it here is that we should be praying for her. And, like, praying that she has this change of heart.
And praying for President Biden.
Yeah.
And anybody that, like, is outwardly, like...
I think especially when it comes to politics.
Yeah. Like, using their platform to, like, promote sinful stuff.
That we forget that, like, even though they're on the other side from you and I, like, of the political spectrum, they are still part of us when we talk about the body of Christ.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's generally a process to, like, a penalty as drastic as excommunication, but there are some automatic, like, there are some things that have the penalty of automatic excommunication. So, is it apostates?
Yeah, I think
so. Apostates, heretics,
schismatics,
thank you. anyone who desecrates the Eucharist, a person who physically attacks the Pope, which part of the reason for that is that, like, the Pope is here to, like, be, like, the representative of Jesus, like, on earth. So, like, that's why, I guess, like, not just if you randomly assaulted any other person. Because I feel like just saying, like, because someone physically attacks the Pope might come off weird to some people.
Yeah.
Like, why is he better than other people? But, a priest who in confession solicits another to violate the sixth commandment.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a big one.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Go on. What does that mean exactly?
I want to know more about that because
we can unpack this later.
We will unpack this later because of literally your recent confession experiences. I feel like I want to know more about, like, what that entails.
I want to unpack this. Okay.
Anyway,
onward we go.
Pause button on that. But a bishop who consecrates another bishop without papal mandate, a priest who violates the seal of the confessional.
I feel like we all know that one. Like, that one's a classic one.
Yeah. A person who procures an abortion.
Oh yeah.
And
you have to confess to the bishop for that. I know people who have had to do that.
And accomplices who were needed to commit an action that is an automatic excommunication penalty.
I mean, so it's like if you have an abortion, like, you're immediately excommunicated.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because you have to confess to the bishop.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize. Yep. I mean, it makes sense. So then these pro-choice politicians, like, it's... Okay, I'm sorry. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Huh. Look at me learning stuff.
But there are conditions for the penalty to apply. Like, those are like, the actions that would warrant automatic excommunication. But, like, also within that, like, the individual must be at least 16 years old. They have to know that that action was a violation of church law, so kind of in the same token as mortal sin. Like, it was gravely wrong. You knew it was gravely
Which
wrong.
Which is why, like the bishop would, like, contact, like...
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I get you.
So that you're sure that you know. And the individual must have acted freely without threat of force or grave fear.
That's true. So
have
if you...
the use of reason and not have acted mistakenly.
So if you were, like, forced into having an abortion, even, like, highly pressured by, like, say, your parents.
Right.
You were a 16-year-old. Like, that would not count.
So there are conditions for that to be met. But yeah, the Catholic Church in general, like, there's just, it is very much a welcoming church, and all people are welcome. There are rules. Like, there are rules, and they're there for a reason.
Well, yeah, and I feel like, what we've talked about a million times, but, like, what is love?
Yeah.
What is love? And if love is which it is willing the good of the other. Yeah. Like, wanting.
Loving rules are set in so many.
Yeah, wanting. Parts of our life. I mean, it's the same reason I don't let my kids, like, run in the street. Like, I love them.
Yeah.
Or, like you might, like, take your kid out of a fun situation because they're abusing the fun situation. Like,
yep.
You know, you have to. You have to set loving parameters sometimes.
You do.
And also, like, if they're, like, if people are acting, like, this gravely inside the church and causing scandals and, like, yeah. making other people believe that terrible things are okay, like, they're going to lead other people to sin.
And that's part of the danger of it, too.
More people are going to play in the parking lot and get hit by cars, and it's going to be terrible.
And, I mean, and next, like, talking about marriage prep, too. Like, people who are marrying, like, whether or not you're two Catholics getting married, whether you're a Catholic and another baptized Christian, whether you're a Catholic and a non-baptized Christian, whether you're a Catholic and an atheist trying to get married, like, the reason for, like, the prep work that is asked of you in Catholic churches, like, before you get married.
Yeah, because you need, what, six months of marriage prep at least.
Yeah, and it's not to make you jump through a whole bunch of extra hoops. It's to save you, honestly, from, like, making this huge lifelong commitment. And, you know, if you meet the requirements for a sacramental marriage, then, you know, taking on the sacrament, like, if you shouldn't be, honestly, mm-hmm. like, and if you have not evaluated huge things that you should evaluate before marriage,
right?
And so recently, well, not even recently, because Britney Spears I think got married like a year ago, or like, no, like a couple months ago. It was a couple months ago.
Sure.
But I saw, like, a couple articles come out recently about, like, a post that she had made where she had wanted to get married in this Catholic church, I think in L.A.
Oh, yeah, this is what gave us the idea for this episode.
Yeah. Because I read it and, like, I was like, that's weird. Like, why would Britney Spears want to get married in the Catholic church? Is she Catholic? Like, I had to look it up, and she's not. I was like, she's not Catholic, and neither was her fiancé, now husband.
People like Catholic churches because a lot of times they're pretty.
But, yeah, but people do like Catholic churches because they're pretty. It's a nice aesthetic. But, like, the Catholic church is more than an aesthetic. So, like, whenever they came to the church to be like, hey, we want to get married here, the Catholic church was like, well, why? But on top of being like, why, they were also like, okay, well, you would need to go through marriage prep. One of you would need to be Catholic. Like, is that the intention here? Like, the church went to evaluate, like, what's going on here. And so apparently Britney Spears made, like, an Instagram post about how isn't the church supposed to be welcoming to all, like, they wanted me to take a test, like, and honestly, she probably should have taken the test. Like, did you do a focus inventory?
Yeah, we didn't turn it in, though.
Oh.
Like, we didn't have to, but we did do it.
I would love to see the results. I couldn't remember if we did see the results or not. I feel like we did. I logged into my old account to see if you could see the results of ours. Because yeah. I was like, I wonder what we answered to some of these questions, it. Like, knowing now.
I don't know. He might have turned it in. We gave it to him, and then, like, our priest.
Yeah.
And then nothing else. Like, we never heard about it again.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he turned it in, and if we failed, he would have let us know.
I remember we turned it in. I think we briefly talked about it. I don't remember a whole lot, honestly, yeah. about the whole thing. But I did, like... I did look it up and, like, look at some of the sample questions, and they cover things like, you know, have you covered finances? Like, mm-hmm. have you talked about financial responsibility?
That thing covers everything. Every yeah, detail.
Every single detail. Because I remember, like, the answers, like, agree, disagree, or uncertain.
Yeah.
And, so it gives also, like, your priest the opportunity to, within your marriage prep, like, address the areas where you have different answers on that assessment. Or if, like, you're just like, I don't know if we ever talked about that, but it is a crucial part of marriage.
Did you do it separately and then turn it in?
Yeah.
We did, and then we talked about it. So it was like, I think we had mostly the same answers on everything. Because if you know me, you know that.
I broke your pen.
Well, it's probably Andrew's pen, so he probably hates you now.
I'm sorry. I also put it in my mouth, so this is probably my pen now. And if Andrew didn't hear me just now, he's going to hear me when he
gross. Says it.
I didn't realize I was doing it until I had it on my cheek, and then it was just
I've done that. What were we talking about?
Focus inventory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about it. Oh, yeah, like, I talk exhaustively about, like, what I think. And I feel like, so we had covered most everything ahead of time. But some people don't.
I can't imagine it. Like, because sometimes I think, like, people that I know who are married or, like, have been together for a very long time, like, things will come up, like, years into the relationship. And I'm like, this has never come up before. Like, because in my head I'll be like, I was so annoying about all of these things because I just had to talk them through.
Well, I guess I don't know if we talked about, like, how we would educate our kids. That's one of the things that we've had to, like, we talked about possibly sending them to Catholic school, but, like, I don't know that we talked about homeschooling until we actually had a kid.
Yeah. I think the climate of public schooling, though, has also changed a lot since you were engaged, so there's a lot to unpack now that you weren't as probably aware of then.
Yeah. But, yeah, that, like, marriage prep, like, they also introduced the idea of, like, NFP.
Yeah.
And
make sure you're on the same page with that.
Yeah, because that's a big thing in marriage. Like,
yeah.
Huge thing.
It's also one that's not on the, like, I think, list of things that, because I feel like society in general is like, yeah, you should probably discuss finances. You should discuss if you want children or not is a big one. And you should know what the other person believes about God. Like, you should know.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that almost everyone knows that. But, like, I think that the Catholic assessment does specifically go, like, do you understand the birth control thing? Like, have y'all discussed that? But, so, you know, there are marriage requirements. And then even RCIA, like, there's just requirements to enter the Catholic Church. Like, because we want you to learn about the faith and know what you're signing up for before you just plunge into, like, getting baptized because you felt moved by the Spirit that day.
Yeah. And obviously, there are, like, certain exceptions where, I mean, like you said earlier, like, if you're dying.
It's always, like, if you're dying.
If you're dying, you pretty much have exceptions for all sorts of things. But you can, like, join the church faster, maybe. Like, you expedite the process. Or, like you mentioned, and I've seen this happen, like, people who have been attending church for a really long time and maybe, like, participated. I mean, a lot of times you still have to do RCIA, but if the priest really knows you and knows that you, like, are well catechized, maybe they can get an exception for you. I don't actually know.
Part of me thinks if Fred talked to Father Bean, that Father Bean would probably let him be confirmed.
I don't know.
I don't know for sure, but I feel like Father Bean probably, like, having talked to me enough, probably knows that I've bothered Fred enough about Catholic doctrine.
There's more than that, though, that we learned about in RCIA. Like, I learned things in RCIA. Like, I wouldn't.
I really want to make time to go, like, with Fred this year, because I really want, like, the refresher, and I think, honestly, he'd give me ideas of things to talk about on here.
Yeah, for sure, you should definitely go.
But, yeah, but all these things. What?
I said, are you going to be a sponsor? No.
Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to ask Fred. I feel like that's his decision.
Oh, it is. I just wondered if he had.
I think I specifically told him not to make me his sponsor, so I'm open to it if he wants me to be there.
We can, you know, talk about this later, too.
But anyway, all these things that, like, I think make the Catholic Church come off as very exclusive. The point is that they are there out of love and out of a desire for you to do things, like, with full knowledge.
Yeah.
And they aren't there to make us into some sort of exclusive group that you aren't good enough to be a part of. It's never the point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep praying for us. We'll be praying for you.
Keep seeking truth.